My mom always said that if you sneeze 3 times in a row, you get to go home.
Hello and welcome to the Android Police Podcast. My name is Daniel Bader. This week on the show, Android and the Pixel team are combining into an AI powerhouse that's going to change the world, according to Google. That is, I think, the biggest news of the week, and we are going to get into it. Folks, it's 2014, and time is a flat circle. Joining me this week, Will Saddleberg, not in person.
No.
We'll explain a little bit more about that in a second, but how are you doing?
I'm doing good now. I'm doing better now than I was at the start of this week, when I was supposed to drive 6 hours to Montreal to hang out with you.
I know. It was very sad.
Yeah.
We drank and ate twice as much in your honor.
Good. I would hope so. I woke up Monday morning with a fever and some kind of flu. And so I was just like, I messaged you and James, and I was like, do you guys want me to come? And you, I think, correctly said, if you're sick, you should stay home, if even just for your sake. Especially since I'm headed on vacation next week, it's probably a good thing that I rested and did not push myself to appear in Montreal.
Wait, so you're going on vacation next week and you were sick all this week?
I know. I know.
Suspicious. Are you sure you're not recording for Mexico right now?
Yeah, we're headed to San Diego, which is not far from...
Not far.
Not far.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better, because we do have quite a bit to talk about. I didn't mention it in the lead, but emulators are on the App Store as well. This is a big deal. I played Banjo. I shouldn't say this, but I did, because I legally ripped it right before I got on the plane.
Legally dumped ROM. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. I played Banjo-Tooie on my iPhone on the plane on my way home from Montreal today.
Yeah.
And it was a very strange experience, because a game 24 years old feels like it's 24 years old. And I am not good at that game. I am not good at it. But Delta was like a decade in the making. It's on the App Store, available on Alt Store for a while, which is also now a separate third-party app store in the EU. A lot of stuff happening with emulators that I think... It's just interesting. It may not be that relevant to Android users. Obviously, we talked about the death of Yuzu and Citro the last few weeks after they were sued out of oblivion by Nintendo. But Delta is a Nintendo emulator. It can emulate DS, GB, GBA, N64, 3DS.
Not 3DS.
Not 3DS. Yeah. Just DS. But it's on the App Store. This is going to bring, like many iPhone features that launch and people start paying attention, it'll shine a bit of a halo on the rest of the ecosystem.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think emulation, not that it wasn't back long before this, but it's certainly going to have another hype cycle. So that's happening. Apple is tacitly allowing these things that were long banned on the App Store. Meanwhile, YouTube now cracking down on third-party apps like Revanced to get rid of ad blockers on YouTube, saying rightfully that when you get rid of ads on YouTube, the creators don't get paid. So just go subscribe to YouTube Premium. But anyway, we'll get to that a little bit later. Let's talk about this massive reorg that brings Android, Hiroshi Lockheimer's Android team, under Rick Osterloh. And he is now running something called the Platforms and Devices team within Google, ostensibly to sort of do what Panos Panay did years ago with Windows, where they decided to bring hardware and software, Surface and Windows, under one roof so that they could create this better product that would shine brightly on the rest of the industry, right? And it's unclear if this is the same goal, but Osterloh said very clearly that this is about making AI better for all of Google, not just Android. So walk us through what we know so far about this reorg.
Yeah, this news kind of came out of nowhere. It was announced from an interview that ran on The Verge yesterday, as we record this, Thursday morning. And yeah, I mean, basically, Rick Osterloh is running this new platforms and devices team that includes Pixel, Android, Chrome, Chrome OS, Photos, and more, is what The Verge says. So we don't even know who else has been moved under here. Obviously, plenty of AI people that work at Google. If you ask The Verge's piece, right, like, this is all about AI, down to there's a line in The Verge that says there's only one reason for all of it, AI. And we can get to that, and I think that is mostly true, but I also do wonder if this is a solution to a critique that people have had, including us, about Google for ages now, which is that this company is too segmented, this company is too divided into unnecessary teams of employees that are working without communicating, perhaps with other parts of the company, right? That's how you end up with several messaging apps, you know? I'm curious to see if bringing a lot of the company's most popular services and products under one roof, under one manager, overseeing everything, kind of in a couple years, we look back and we see like, oh, like some of the issues we were having with Google as a company, as a hierarchy, have been resolved with this move. But all that aside, right, that's speculation. If we're taking Google at its word, if we're taking Osterloh at his word, this is all about focusing on making mobile AI, now maybe not just mobile AI happen, but certainly like AI in mobile, AI on the web. Like this is a laser focused attack on outperforming ChatGPT, I would say. This is a way to be like, you know, Osterloh makes the comparison to the Pixel camera where it's like it's hardware and software and AI optimization, and it's all these teams working together to produce a better photo than what you could see 5 years ago. And it sounds like that's basically what they want to do for everything modern AI, right? Like, and I think that's an intriguing goal. It's still, to me, you know, when you talk about AI, it is still a little frustratingly vague to me of like, okay, what does that mean? And it's not a lot right now, but that is the goal at the very least, is to effectively streamline the process of Google working on AI applications for both its hardware and its software.
On the one hand, I think your initial point was well taken, is well taken. This idea that Google needs to communicate more effectively by combining two of its prominent mobile divisions, it will do a better job just building better products, right?
Right.
And the fact that we've, over the last few years, really seen a shift away from Google building Android for AOSP separate from Android for Pixel. And now it's just this like nebulous thing that's quite opaque to the outside world. But at some point, we know Pixels will always get the feature. And then most things will eventually come to other Android phones. If not now, then in a year or 2 years, there will always be a version of Android that's just iterated on in the open. On an annual basis, it will form what is the new Android version. And then 3-4 months later, we will see that more cohesively packaged with a bunch of explicitly Pixel things called the Pixel experience on the Pixel 9 Pro, whatever, right? Like that's happened 5 years in a row now. It's happened for quite a lot longer, but it's been more explicit. Did I say 5 years? My God. First Pixel was in 2016. That's crazy. I was like, the Pixel's only 5 years old.
It's like a month before Trump got elected. And now we're
absolutely here, insane. I'm so, that just blew my mind right now. I'm so old. So it just feels like that, where at this point, there is no difference in reality between Android built for Pixel and Android built for everyone else. And now it's even harder to define that boundary because Samsung and OnePlus are all taking Gemini and calling it a feature. And we're not really sure if they're calling Gemini an Android feature or if they're like subscribing to Gemini from some other part of Google, right?
Right. I mean, that comes down to Google's incredibly confusing Gemini branding, where it's like it's impossible to know what Gemini you're talking about at any given time.
Yeah, but it's just weird that Samsung, the company that basically self-destructed its own Android skin in 2014 and then was like very sternly told that it had to get rid of it and go back to creating something that resembled proper Android, the company is now in a position where it's seeing Google, ostensibly a competitor in the Android OEM space, but a partner on the software side, pulling its hardware and software teams closer together and being like, all right, we're going to work together on making Android and Pixel a better experience for everybody with the power of AI. But Samsung, you're fine. We're still going to give you priority. And OnePlus, you're fine. We're still going to give you priority. And like all these other partners, Oppo, Vivo, Xiaomi, all the companies that still work with Qualcomm, which was also announced as a partner in this endeavor, which is weird because Pixel doesn't use Qualcomm at all, really, anymore. The whole thing just smells of like they're trying to reassure or get ahead of the story that is inevitably going to come out that they pissed off Samsung or some other partner.
Yeah.
By preemptively saying, oh, no, we're fine. Android's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, they swore to The Verge. Osterloh swore that, and they used the phrase firewall, right? That the firewall between Pixel and Android is still there, despite the fact that they are now the same team, by saying, we have always kept distinct teams between Android and our ecosystem partners and our first-party hardware efforts, which is a funny thing to say when you are literally folding the two teams into one group. And then also Samir Samat, who has worked on the Android team under Lockheimer, is now the president of the Android ecosystem. That is a move that was made in part to try to, I think, distinguish fears about, extinguish fears.
Extinguish, distinguish, same difference.
It's the same difference. Listen, I'm still on cold meds. All right. You little bit of a break. Qualm those fears of what this means for partners. I agree with you that I think we're going to find out eventually, whether it's through leaks or, you know, documents that come out in some lawsuit, maybe not between partners, right? But like some kind of discovery in a semi-related lawsuit that we're like, oh, hey, it turns out that like Samsung was super pissed off about moving everything under Osterloh. Like, I don't know. Like, I think it's totally possible, if not likely.
Well, the other part too is we don't, as users, want the firewall, really, right? The firewall has served its purpose.
No.
But at the time, it was sort of to inoculate Google's, I think, ethical side, right? The AOSP side, the ones that were like, we would never want to be seen as influencing the decision of Google's hardware or influencing the culture and decisions of Google's hardware teams, and being very clear about how AOSP is this pure and unadulterated piece of software that no company can disrupt. And we know now that over the years, many OEMs have sent updates to AOSP that have eventually gotten picked up, right? And they, when it works and it's great and like Samsung's allowed to talk about it, they're like, oh yeah, like we created this feature that eventually got absorbed into AOSP and rolled out to everybody because look, we're such a great partner. But in 2024, I don't think that firewall is needed. I think Samsung's Android is pretty much established. In 10 years from now, it's unlikely that One UI 16 is going to be that different from One UI 6. And also, unlike 10 years ago, when Samsung was beefing with Apple and Google, there's no chance of Samsung saying, hey, that's going to do something. it's going to say, hey, G, we are upset. We're going to go off and build Tizen 2 and start forking Android for our own purposes again.
There it is.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
And like, that's, I just think we're no longer at that critical point anymore. And Samsung is by far the hardware leader. Google has established its dominance so much more now than it had a decade ago. And I just feel like them touting this weird line about a firewall is meaningless. It's especially meaningless now that they've gone public with the fact that they're combining their hardware and software teams.
Yeah, 100%. It's interesting, though, because you brought this up, right? But I think the Microsoft comparison is apt here, because when Microsoft entered the hardware game with Surface, right, you heard a lot of the same concerns or questions, at the very least, about what this meant for Microsoft's hardware partners as far as Windows goes. And the answer was that Microsoft is a competitor to Dell or to Asus, but that does not mean that they are the instant best pick, right? Like, I just pulled up a bunch of different buyer's guides for best Windows laptop across the web, and Surface is not on here. Like, Surface does not make practically any of these. It is a little different on the phone side, right? We're going to see, you know, Windows is usually just Windows, more or less. You don't see a ton of tweaks the way you do to Android, right? Like, Google's flavor of Android is different than Samsung's, even if they have a lot of similarities, and they have likewise their own ecosystems that they're trying to build out. But I do think that, like, if Samsung makes the best hardware and continues to make the best hardware and pushes forward on improving some of its shortcomings, like, at the end of the day, like, I don't know if it needs to worry about Google, at least in the short term, meshing these two teams together.
Yeah, I just don't think they have much of a leg to stand on.
Yeah.
Right? They both are codependent at this point. Samsung needs Google as much as Google needs Samsung.
I mean, Samsung rescued Wear OS, so, you know.
That's like, the other thing too, right? Samsung and Google are making an OS together.
Yeah.
It's insane to me that they would have a problem with this, right? Just admit that you are doing this so that there are fewer roadblocks to making the Pixel a better AI powerhouse, and it's all going to be fine. Like, stop pretending that you're creating this artificial firewall. I mean, realistically, it should be Android versus iOS, right? Especially in North America, where Android keeps losing market share. We talk about this all the time, but this is more important, in my opinion, so that, like, the Pixel will always have 1% to 2% market share or whatever, 3%, 4%, 5% max. Samsung will always have 20, 30% market share. The problem here is that we want Android as an ecosystem, as a platform, as a green bubble, to be a better choice for consumers, period. It doesn't matter what phone you use. And if this merger can make Android a better platform overall, be it on the phone or the watch or the television, God forbid they should put any effort into that, or the car, or the smart home, whatever, that is good for everybody, from Samsung to Pixel to OnePlus, right? And I hope that Osterloh knows what he's doing here, because under Lockheimer, Android has become an infinitely better platform, but as a product, Android is just non-existent, right? Nobody knows what Android is. They know what Samsung is. They know what Pixel is, but Android has disappeared from the public consciousness. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's now certainly understandable that Android is now being paired more closely with Pixel so that it can start talking about Gemini or the next generation of AI, because at least that's much more marketable as, like, a feature that people want to see and the benefits of that, as opposed to this just blank slate. Kind of the same as, like, 5G. It's like airwaves, right? Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile. Like, it's hard for them to make any noise anymore because they've just been reduced to these utilities, and that's good. But they try every once in a while to, like, disrupt that by doing something that's really dumb and AT&T specific. And then people are like, don't do that. Just be a dumb backhaul carrier. Just do the job that you were designed for. Charge me too much money and just get out of my way.
Right? I think AT&T should be a media company one more time. Just
please,
one more time.
That is a
one
great idea. Verizon should buy some more websites.
Go 90 2.0.
Oh, Jesus. Did you ever try that?
No. And I'm a Verizon subscriber. No, I never tried it.
Yeah, it's a problem. Anyway, okay, so I think that's it. Should we move on?
Yeah, we should just say that since we brought him up, Hiroshi Lockheimer is said to be moving on to other projects within Google. It is not clear what that is. So he's no longer overseeing Android.
I want him to start Google Plus Plus. And it should be federated. And it should be a combination of Reddit and Friendster. That's my request, Hiroshi. Make it. It will become the biggest social network in the
dozens
world.
Dozens of people will be happy with that.
Yeah,
dozens.
Exactly. Orkut. Yeah. They already made Orkut or bought Orkut or whatever they did with Orkut. I think they'll find it again. They'll find that magic. Okay, let's move on. Pixel 9 Pro leaks. We've seen an in-person photo. It looks like an EVT. I will say, Will Saddleberg, that this is the nicest looking Pixel I've ever seen.
Yeah, I agree.
Just by the size, if this is real, this is going to crush it this year.
Yeah.
I am obsessed.
Yeah, I don't have a lot else to say on it other than that, like, I think it looks good. I feel like usually when we see really early demo units for Pixel hardware, I'm always like, oh, I hope it looks better when it's, like, fully finished and out of the box. And this time I'm like, no, like, kind of just give this to me now. Like, one of the leaked images has it next to an iPhone. And on one hand, I'm like, yeah, it does kind of look like an iPhone. And on the other hand, I'm like, the iPhone is a very nice piece of hardware. And the fact that it can sit next to the iPhone and I can look at it and go, wow, that looks about as refined as the iPhone is good. It's great. I would like it.
I will go one step further to say it looks, in my opinion, significantly better than the iPhone.
I agree. I think the taking and refining what they tried with the Pixel Fold's camera bump, the camera island or whatever you want to call it, and making it this curved Cylon thing on the back, and it looks way better than Apple's square camera trio, which I've never liked and is like, nobody talks about this. That thing gets so grimy after like not even that, like a month's worth of use. Like that thing gets gross and you can never quite get all of the dust off it. It's a terrible design. It's so weird that they've stuck with it for so long.
Yeah.
You know, compared to something that it looks refined like this camera bump on the Pixel 9. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just a truism of every smartphone now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think any of them, you know, they're metal and glass. They attract a ton of dust and fingerprints and stuff.
It's how close the lenses are is like makes it impossible for that like middle section to ever be like fully clean. Mm-hmm. It just sucks.
Yeah, I think like of all of the Pixels, this looks like a leap in design.
Yeah,
that we've been waiting quite a while for. It just makes it look much more modern, and I feel like if they kept this for another 5 years, it would be okay. It's sort of the way that like the iPhone looks fine, but like, now that it's in its fifth or sixth year of that same design, like, I just feels dated. Same with the Galaxy S24 Ultra. Like, it's utilitarian. It's great quality, but I don't know. It doesn't get my heart racing. This gets my heart racing. And kudos to Google for being able to do that while maintaining the iconic camera module. It looks like a Pixel without looking like a Pixel 8 Pro.
We should mention, I didn't originally have this in the show notes, so I'm going to throw a curveball at you. But we should, since we're talking about the Pixel 9, we should mention that this week it came out that there might be 4 Pixel 9s, not 3, 4.
Oh, yes. Please tell us why.
This is true. I, on Monday, woke up. I was in between sleeping because I had a fever. And I woke up for like 45 minutes. And in that 45 minutes, AP's Taylor Kearns texted me, by the way, there's a new leak that says the Pixel Fold 2 might be called the Pixel 9 Pro Fold. And I responded, LMAO, and then passed out.
It was a fever dream. That's what it was.
I woke up and I was like, wait, did that actually happen? And it did. And it sounds like that Google might call the Pixel Fold 2 the Pixel 9 Pro Fold, which I think is truly a terrible name. I have reasons, but I don't think they matter. I think just at the end of the day, I just think the name sucks. Like, I think it's clunky. I don't think it's a good idea to put the Fold in as a fourth Pixel 9. I think it just kind of makes the lineup a little messy, and it should be its own thing the way that Samsung has done it. But I'm very curious how you feel about that name, because I know not everyone agrees with me.
I'll let you guess what I think about that name.
I hope you hate it, but...
Yes, I hate it. Of course I hate it.
It's not good.
It's a stupid name. It's long.
It's too long.
Quote, Jesus Christ, that is long.
It's like Captivate 4G LTE Synergy long.
That is long, 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 long.
It's Galaxy S2 Epic 4G Touch long.
It is very long.
I told you, David, it's too fucking long.
I could maybe be okay with it if it didn't have Pro in it. I get what they're trying to do. Especially if, like, we haven't heard a lot about the camera in the whatever the second gen Fold will be. If the camera specs are matched 1-to-1 and it's like you're really just choosing, do you want the small, the big, or the foldable pick, and it's the same experience otherwise. But again, I just think that's not true for foldables. Foldables are very different experiences, and to try to shoehorn it into the Pixel 9 brand just seems weird to me. I don't know.
I don't think it's real.
I hope not.
I think Google's smarter than that at this point. At least I hope so. Like,
yeah.
The Pixel Fold 2 is just a better name. Why associate it with this generation's phone?
Yeah, I agree. They don't even look alike. You've switched designs.
Yeah, like, you don't even need to update it at the same cadence. You put yourself in the position where you have to update it at the same time every year.
Yeah.
Right? You're just boxing yourself in. You don't have any flexibility. You can't give yourself 18 months to make a better version. You're stuck to the same annual cadence. I don't know. It just feels like you're unnecessarily putting yourself in a pretzel for no reason.
Oh my God. I didn't even think about this. It also means that if they make a clamshell phone, it has to be called the Pixel 9 Pro Flip, or at least Pixel 9 Flip. Mm-hmm. They have to lock it. They can't even do Pixel Flip. They have to lock it into the flagship branding, because otherwise it makes no sense.
Right.
So it gets even messier if they ever decide, which I'm sure they will, to make a clamshell phone.
Or they do it by putting it in the A series, and then it becomes the Pixel 8a Flip. And then it'll be all better. So think about that. Okay, there's some Pixel 8a renders. This is coming. Like, we know this is coming. It's almost certainly going to launch at Google I.O. in less than a month. So you will be there. You will go and get your grimy hands on this thing. It will be colorful. And I hope you get the green one so that you can then give it to me.
It's like radioactive.
It's nice. It's like Fallout level green here.
I joked with Ben Schoen at 9to5 this week that I'm like, okay, the Mint Pixel 8 was like a 4. And this one's at like an 11. And I kind of want one at 8 or 9 maybe. But I guess I'd rather have the 11, but than the 4, but like, oh man, like they heard all the complaints and they were like, fine, we're pushing all the sliders up.
But the blue one does look like an 8. Like, if you want an 8, you go with the blue. If you want a 3, you go with the cream one. And if you want a 0, you go with the black one. Like, that's it. There's just a spectrum of radioactivity here. But I'm very much into this, like, radioactive mint green here. But I'm also just excited for this phone because it looks, it just looks killer as a entry level phone. Well, it's not even entry level anymore. It's just like, it's going to be a killer budget phone.
Yeah.
I can't wait to be able to recommend it to all my friends and family. It's going to be a good recommendation. So,
till we find out it overheats or something.
Don't say that. It's going to be fine. All right, let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of iOS emulator. So I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, but very out of nowhere, Delta, this long in development iOS emulator for Nintendo games, hits the App Store. There had been a couple of emulators that were released on the App Store and then taken down for one reason or another. One of the stories was that it was, the first one was a recompiled version of a popular alt store emulator that was just like stolen code that the owner was like, excuse me, Apple, like, what are you doing? So then Apple took it down.
Such a bad look for Apple. I'm sorry, but like, come on, guys.
But also this happens like every 3 months.
I know, but they sell the story of like the App Store. Everything is like verified. It's like, no, it's not. Like, come on. I'm sure they blame the EU. They'd be like, this is actually Europe's fault that this got through. But
yeah, sure. Yeah. Exactly. Our AI-powered robot let it through. And then there was another one that was taken down because the author or the developer was just scared of the repercussions. Yeah.
He was like, oh, you know what? Got too big too fast. I don't want to be targeted by Nintendo's lawyers.
Bye. Yeah. And now there's Delta, which is just like a very polished app, right? It works out of the box if you have the ROMs. It supports a lot of different ROMs, and it's got some very comprehensive documentation. And it just works.
It's got controller support if you've got like a backbone. Mm-hmm.
Or one of the brand new Kishi Ultras, which was announced yesterday. Yes,
exactly. Exactly. It's got practically everything that you could want. There's a few missing features that I think could end up in there. Like I think Game Boy games right now, like not Game Boy Color games, but Game Boy games are just black and white right now. But like those are like niche features that emulation sickos like me are looking for. And like, meanwhile, my entire Twitter feed is people being like, oh my God, I can play like Pokemon on my iPhone now. That's so exciting. And like, honestly, I've seen a lot of Android people be like, we've had that since 2010 thing. And like, just be happy for people. Like, you don't have a stake in these platforms as much as you might think you do. Like, it's cool that iOS people get to do this now. It's cool that the concerns that emulation developers had that we talked about a week ago didn't end up playing into this, that like Apple did was like, no, if you've got the files, you can grab them from your file browser on iOS. Like, I think all of that is good for people on an iPhone.
I mean, it's good for the emulation community in general, right?
Yeah.
It's also weird because I think Nintendo is in this strange situation of having to mediate its relationship with Apple, which is quite good and probably very lucrative because it does have, you know, Mario Kart and Mario Run and a few other titles on there that earn a shitload of money. It also makes money from Pokemon Go.
Yep.
If you recall, Nintendo owns a pretty big stake in Pokemon. So that is something they're going to have to figure out whether they want to.
It's number one right now, right? Like, this app has been number one in the App Store for the last like three, basically since launch. Nintendo must feel the pressure to try to take this down. As I said, my entire Twitter feed is people just playing Animal Crossing on a fake DS, right? Like, I've seen multiple tweets that's like, mobile gaming's back, and it's just Nintendo games in an emulator on iPhone. And it's like, I would not be surprised if Nintendo tries to take action here, but emulation has existed on Android for so long. It's been quieter, especially because it's been such an established scene, but like, I just don't see where it's going to go, but basically any outcome would not surprise me.
Yeah, look, on the other hand, I think Nintendo has been pretty hands-off with non-current-gen emulators over the years, right?
That's
true. It
hasn't
taken legal action against any Android emulators that emulated older systems. It really just focused on Yuzu because it could emulate the Switch. And Citra got caught up in there, right? Because it was the front end. Nintendo has this weird choice whether it could easily launch its own emulator like Nintendo Switch Online and sell games on iOS if it wanted, or it could launch basically a Nintendo. I think this would be allowed now with the new rules, where it could just launch Nintendo Online services on iOS and allow you to play older games on your phone. Right? Because the new rules allow you to have an app store within an app store, or you don't have to submit every game independently anymore, even though I think you still have to pay fees to Apple for every purchase.
Yeah. Like, I think the example, like when we were talking about the concerns a week ago about how emulation would work on iOS, the concern was that, like, this is mostly for companies like Sega to be like, here's a Sonic Retro Collection, like you can buy the games individually for like $3 or whatever, and Apple gets a 30% cut of all the in-app purchases. Nothing is stopping Nintendo from being like, we have built Game Boy Advance for the iPhone. You can now go buy Super Mario, oh, fuck, there's no original games on the GBA for Mario. You can now go buy, you know, all of the Mario remakes on GBA for $7.99 a pop, and then also being like, by the way, like Delta, you should get off the store.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't think Nintendo will do anything, because at the end of the day, Delta is adhering to the App Store's rules. It's not
for sure
providing any way of downloading games, right? Like, this is a completely empty shell of an app until you bring in a ROM. And it is not that easy to download ROMs onto an iPhone.
No, it's annoying.
Like, it's easy if you understand the dynamic between, like, obfuscated file systems and the Files app, and like, if you have a Dropbox or Google Drive, you can technically like import it into Delta. Like, I'm not explaining how to do it at
because
all.
Because you dumped your ROMs from an N64 cartridge.
Exactly. I plugged in a USB-C hub and I downloaded it all to my phone like a good old boy. But no, I mean, realistically, like, if you have the means and you are motivated, you're going to do it. You're going to find a way.
Yeah.
But Alt Store was there anyway. Like, if you really wanted to do it, you could have done it already. There were ways to do it in the browser for a while. Like, it's just, it's not impossible to play Pokemon on your iPhone.
It's
just now considerably easier.
Yeah. I remember when I was a freshman in college, a bunch of us, and I didn't have an iPhone, but I had an iPad, and I was playing it on my iPad using some kind of browser-based emulator in 2013. It's very easy. I was playing Pokemon, I remember. So if anything, I'm glad there's like official sources for iOS users to download this stuff. And as I, like I said, as a fan of emulation, I think this is just good. And I do hope that Nintendo leaves it alone. And like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if they do leave it alone. I also just won't be surprised if next week, like, they've found some way to issue a takedown.
Yeah, maybe. Well, in the meantime, go play your favorite Game Boy game and enjoy your weekend. I think we would be remiss not to talk about the fact that Tesla has recalled every single Cybertruck that it sold.
Yeah.
And in doing so has revealed the number of Cybertrucks that it sold, which is just an astounding number. I love this article. Tesla recalls all 3878 Cybertrucks over faulty accelerator pedal. Terrifying, the fact that this was even possible. But
yeah,
the fact that there are only 3,878 Cybertrucks to fix means that it's going to be a fairly easy one for them.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to add here other than, like, I don't know a lot about designing trucks. You know, my dad works for GM, but that does not give me any, I'm in the industry I'm in for a reason, right? That said, I would imagine that the accelerator pedal is a thing that you should not fuck up, is what I would say.
It's not the accelerator pedal. It's this little sheath that goes over it that provides some texture.
Well, right, but like, it was like slipping off and then sticking the pedal down, right? And so that it would essentially become trapped.
Yeah, exactly.
That's no good.
No good. No bueno at all.
This must have been when I had my Terrain. I, for whatever reason, I moved the, I have like WeatherTech floor mats, and I must have kicked it when I got in the car, and I accidentally like covered the brake with it. And so when I went to press down on the brake, it was like not pushing down correctly. And this is as I was like backing out of my driveway. And that was scary enough, right? Where you're suddenly like, wait, why is this not working? I can't imagine being on the road and having your Cybertruck's pedal just stuck to the floor.
That, I mean, the difference here is that you're probably going to hurt somebody else more than you're going to get hurt yourself.
Right.
Just, you know, the overall likelihood. But
well, they don't crumple. They have no crumple zones.
Exactly. Oh, man. All right. Well, if you do have a Cybertruck and you have to get it recalled, please let us know how long it takes. I would love to know if you get that car back the same day, or if they give you some sort of rental, like they give you a Model X to take home with you for a few days. All right. That's it. We're going to cut it short because we have to go and enjoy our weekend. We've earned it.
2 hours of Taylor Swift music to listen to.
Yeah, happy Taylor Swift album release day if you celebrate. Although to me, it's still a Vampire Weekend release day a week later.
To me too, buddy. You and me both.
Well, I hope you do enjoy both of those things and many other things this weekend.
Yeah, man. I hope you have a relaxing weekend. Obviously, you were out of town all weekend, so, or all week, so hopefully it's a chill one for you. I won't be here next week, we should say.
Right.
So probably no show next week.
Oh, I'll find somebody.
You'll find someone?
Some
okay.
Unsuspecting ruse to bring in here.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
See what happens.
I will be listening then from a non-disclosed beach.
Perfect. I can't wait to hear your feedback. All right. Well, until then, have a great weekend, and we will talk to you very soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.